What do you want to be? Do you want to be the chief or the sheriff that when you retire and you're walking around Home Depot or Lowe's, that the guy looks with his wife or his best friend, he says, oh, Jesus Christ, look, that's that goddamn sheriff. You know, he never did anything for us. He wasn't that type of guy. He'd shit on his men. Or do you want to be the guy that says, hey, sheriff, and you call the sheriff and you run to him and say, hey, thanks for all you've done. How you doing, man? You doing well after retirement? Which sheriff do you want to be?
Hey guys, check out the 2023 Street Cop Conference, April 23rd through the 28th, Gaylord Convention Center. It's going to be the event of the year. Keynote speakers include Rob O'Neill, the guy who killed Bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient, Navy SEAL Jason Redmond, Fox News host Tommy Lahren, Marine Corps Special Forces and Leadership Coach Cody Alford, Sheriff Wayne Ivey, Sheriff David Clark, and Sheriff Mark Lamb. It's going to be one hell of an event. And on top of that, we have all of our instructors and additional instructors from other companies going to be at the event, giving you everything they know for you to have a successful career and get the results you want to get in the field as a police officer. On top of attending the event, you'll get face-to-face time with every instructor attending the event, and all the keynote speakers will spend time with you. We got special events all week, giveaways, nightlife. It's going to be really, really worth your time, energy, and effort. I promise you, you will not regret it for a second. To register for the conference, check out streetcop.com, click conference, and everything you need will be there on the homepage. If you are looking for a room, just click book a room. The block has been sold out at the Gaylord Opryland Convention Center, but there are many hotels nearby within a walking distance of the event. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. We will see you there.
111, 110. You trying to be a street cop?
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Bonino, and I have with us today somebody you see on the news, YouTube, social media networks. The guy's not afraid to speak his mind. He found the right place to do it. He's in the great state of Florida, Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marcino. I said Marcino correct, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Dennis, what's going on? How are you?
I'm so thankful you're here today. People really like you. You know, it's no secret that Florida is a place where you guys are setting examples for how to behave as a law enforcement leader. And one thing that it takes is a lot of courage to say what you believe in. As a matter of fact, on my way here, we had another one of our instructors is doing a video thing on TikTok addressing the president's most recent comment. And I'm not making this about a political thing, that cops should try to use less deadly force when they shoot.
Yeah. Right?
So that makes a ton of sense. And we're not shocked. And as soon as I saw that article, I went, and this is why people can't stand you guys, because there's no common sense to it. It makes no sense at all. Fuck, we might as well start with that. Like, what do you think about something like that?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's an honor. Nice to meet you. Obviously, we're on the same page with our thoughts and our process and how we live our lives. It's unfortunate. The world does not have any common sense. Common sense is not common anymore. So now you got to pick and choose where you live, where like-minded people want law and order, and they want safety and security. Unfortunately, we don't have that everywhere, and we don't. I will tell you this, in Lee County, our great state of Florida, over 1,200 people a day move to Florida, and it's not just because of palm trees and beaches. Our great Governor Ron DeSantis wants law and order. He demands it, and so do I and the other 67 sheriffs in the state of Florida. We're elected, we're not appointed, and we do what's right for the people. And we answer to the people. They're our bosses. So in Lee County, I'm proud to say we went from number 6 worst for violent crime. Now we're the 3rd safest county city in the nation. And that doesn't come by accident. We have great law enforcement. We have great leadership throughout our state. And people want to live here because it's not just sunshine. It's law and order. It's the right-minded people.
Tell me about your career a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I began my career out in Suffolk County. Suffolk County, New York, Long Island. Now, we're originally from, you know, one of the 5 boroughs, the Bronx, New York. I was born and raised in the Bronx and moved out to Long Island like most people, and began my career in Suffolk County at the Suffolk County Park Police. I had a great, great run. I learned a lot. But then I came to Florida on vacation, you know, and I realized quickly I can shovel snow. I can pay a lot of taxes, or I can come to a great state where, you know, when people are shoveling snow, it's 70 degrees and beautiful. And I started my law enforcement career out here in Naples, Collier County, and then, you know, finally coming up to Lee County, Florida, which has been a great move for me.
Tell me about the pizza in Florida.
Ah, I'll tell you, I got a couple places. Yeah, it's a pretty good question. You know, listen, what matters, right? Food, that's where we come from. You know, it's hard to get great pizza, but there are places here that have very, very good pizza. You know, it's not like walking into Tommy's Pizza in the Bronx. It's not like, you know, you're in Manhattan and every corner is another great pizza place. I'm sure that you know, you talked about pizza last night, right? You had some good pizza.
Oh, yeah. I can't promote it on the podcast because they didn't pay for the promotion. And we have about 450,000 listeners. That dilutes the value of what somebody's going to pay for this, for advertising on this podcast. But with that being said, it's always a debate. You know, it's like always a debate between, especially places like Florida and New Jersey. I think sometimes people just don't understand what it means, or New York, what food means to us here because of the quality of what it is.
Yeah. I mean, some people eat to live and others live to eat. You know, where we grew up, we love food. We're foodies. You know, that's where we go. We drive 45 minutes to an hour to get to that restaurant that we love, you know? So, you know, I miss the New York people, great people. The New York restaurants are amazing, but I got family up there and I get home in the summers in particular. I won't go in the winter, but in the summers I'll go see, you know, my other family. And I enjoy being back in New York. I do, but I'll tell you, I love living in Florida. I love being in a position where I can actually affect positive change, great policies and procedures, and have law and order, and have people, most importantly, that support me.
Now that 20% of the state is basically New York and New Jersey and Florida, you know, do you think that being from New York, having your accent, is something that helps you or hurts you? Tell me about that journey a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you, that was quite a journey. You know, when you come down from New York and you have the accent that we have, or the Northeast, you know, you're always not welcomed, you know, in a position or a position of power in law enforcement. You know, I mean, people, the good old boys, you know, the good old boy thing here. But I will tell you, you know, I think that you're always going to have a certain percentage of people that don't like you, no matter what. And I call them haters. And to me, haters are motivators. You know, if they don't like what I stand for, I beg them not to vote for me. And I tell them right to their face, I don't want their vote. If you don't want law and order and you don't want safety and security, then there's no reason for me to talk with you. There's no reason for me to want your vote, because it's everything that I stand against. I stand for law and order. I love the military, the people that have served our country, that are heroes. I want to live in a law and order, safe and secure environment. And I want my great residents to enjoy that every single day.
You said that you took office and you were able to turn the place from a pretty crime-ridden place into now one of the safest counties in Florida, the whole state. It's a big state, right? So let me ask you this. How did you do that? What's your position on proactivity? It had to be proactivity, right? So tell me about that.
I think the most important part, you got 67, you know, Florida sheriffs. You know, my great brother, Grady Judd from Polk County, Wayne Ivey, okay, Chad Cronister in Hillsborough, people that stand like-minded, that want law and order. You know, when I look at my agency, 1,700 people, you know, my county, over a million residents, it's the fastest growing county in the country, Lee County. It has it all. How do you change that culture? You know, it's trained mentality, okay? At the top, you never forget where you come from, and you support the men and women of your agency to the end. You know, they got to be able to go out there and do their job and not worry that if they piss somebody off, or if they say the wrong thing, okay, that things are going to happen to them. We're in a messy business. This is not a clean business. We are going to tase people. We're going to get into shootings. We are going to do what we need to do to keep law and order, you know, so that at the end of the day, I live for my family members and I work with them. They don't work for me. I work with them. And at every level, when SWAT hits a house, I'm with the SWAT team. I'm not just there for a photo op. I want an assignment. And I look at the SWAT commander and say, what's my assignment? And they look at me like, okay, Sheriff. No, I got the left side window, deadly force. And then plan B, what do I have? So it's working with your staff to make certain you change that culture, that family culture. We have the technology of the year, you know, 2525. Okay, thanks to drug money. But I run this place like it's 1965 and it's a family environment. We all work together. We go in together. We come home together.
If we asked people in your rank and file, and again, listen, Sheriff, I get it, right? We have a big company. I have certainly You're a mere Google away from me or Street Cop Training to find really nice articles and smear campaigns. So, you know, we just can't appease those who I'd like to think have no common sense at all, when a lot of us have uncommon sense, right? Because if it was common sense, they would need people like you and I and probably thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of law enforcement leaders and law enforcement officers in the country to come out and project uncommon sense into society to protect everybody. But if I went to your rank and file and I said, listen, Sheriff Carmine's not going to hear any of this stuff. Marcino's not around. I know him, but don't worry about it. Like, what's it really like working here? What do you think they would say?
Well, first of all, I want that, because that's a true, true testament as to what people feel. I value that. So I tell my friends that know me, come to headquarters, do not say my name. Do not say you know me. Walk around and say you're looking to relocate or come get a job here at Lee County. What do you feel? I want that real input. I really believe the vast majority. I mean, some people, you could say, stay home. Your paycheck will be in the mailbox. They'll say you can't direct deposit it. Okay.
Most people
are going to say, you know what? That is an ass-kicking sheriff who lives for his family. He works with us, and we love working with him. And I think that's the general consensus. It's a culture. You know, again, common sense isn't common all the time, but in Lee County, we figured it out. And the secret to success is that you surround yourself with great people. My team is amazing. It's a very diverse background team that's been handpicked, all different types of talent. And you listen. You know, just because you outrank somebody, it doesn't mean you're smarter than somebody. I want to be the least smart in a room, because then I succeed. You know, I listen to everybody. I take a piece of everybody's input and I find my way. That's most important.
Why do you think you were elected?
I believe I was elected because the people of Lee County, the residents, the great residents of Lee County, they know by definition I'm a politician. Okay, they know I'm elected, but they also know that I say it the way it is. Anyone that knows me for a minute, for an hour, for a day or a year, they know I'm going to say it the way it is. I'm not sugarcoating anything. If we're wrong, I'm transparent. We change policy, we train, we do different things, but I own it. But when we are right, I lay down for nobody. I kneel for nobody but Jesus Christ. That's it. Okay, we don't apologize. When we have an officer involved shooting, and a suspect, sometimes arrested 20, 30, 40 times with a stolen car, stolen gun, he tries to shoot and present deadly force at my deputies, my family members, who, by the way, put a uniform on, kiss their loved ones goodbye, their wives, their husbands and children, and they go to serve others before themselves. Okay, they have to come home. So when we're met with deadly force, okay, we meet deadly force with deadly force in this county, and we win and we survive, and we don't apologize for it. And that's the most important thing. We do what's right.
Obviously, we're cut from the same cloth. You know, this is our first time meeting together. I'm sure it won't be our last. Wayne Ivey's a friend of mine. Brevard's hosting my class next month, February 17th.
Great sheriff. He's a great sheriff.
I imagine you're sending at least 75 to 100 people to that class. We can get that on the record right now, right?
as many as I can send. You know, Wayne Ivey's a brother. He's a brother. Yeah. He's another brother that stands. You know, Grady Judd, another brother, Chad Cronister. These are sheriffs that are not afraid to take that stance. If you want a popularity contest, go somewhere else. Say it the way it is. Okay. Own it.
Wayne's actually speaking at our conference. We have a conference in Nashville, Tennessee, April 23rd to the 28th. It is badass, dude. We do a hell of a show. You've been around, how many years have you been around this game now?
Total about 25 total.
Yeah, so I'm about 22. We both look stellar for our age. I got to tell you, I don't know what you're...
Well, you do. You do. Okay, listen, I got a little gym tan laundry going here, you know, but, you know, I get it. A little GTL.
Bro, dude, this skin's good, bro. Like, for a guy who's got have a lot of some fucking stress sometimes, right? You got like, the lines aren't there. Bro, I look at this stuff now at 41, right? You know, so... You look young, dude. You're doing it. No, but the conference is good, dude. We're gonna have great stuff. But we have, like, bro, like 25 years. I'm sure you've been to conferences. You don't say which one. And you know, you go to these places and it's like, oh, it's just some of it's brutal, right? Just brutal. There's nothing going on. It's quiet before anybody talks. And people talk, and you're like, oh my God, please. Dude, we have like a DJ mixing it up the whole time. It's like a club, like 2,000 people coming, right? That's the anticipated. Right now, we're at almost 1,000 registered, and we're in April. So I'm like, we're going to have 2,000 at this event. Bro, it's like a nightclub. Like, people are dancing during the day. It's wild, bro. It's just an exciting time. We have vendors and all these demonstrations. It's like a circus. But Wayne's coming to that one. So is Mark Lamb and David Clark. And we have bunch of other people, too. Yeah, some of our other keynotes are the guy who killed Bin Laden, Rob O'Neill. We actually now just signed up Cody Alford, who's the youngest promoted enlisted Marine Corps guy ever. If I said that right, Cody, you're my boy, dude. Hopefully I got that right. He's a hell of a speaker. This guy's going to be a star. You're going to see him everywhere.
That's great.
And, yeah, he's fucking badass. And then you're going to see, we have Kyle Carpenter, who is the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient, Congressional Medal of Honor recipient. We have Tommy Lahren from Fox News again. She's a friend of ours. I did her show about 2 months ago. So yeah, we're going to a good event. And I'm not trying to hawk spots, but Wayne's sending a lot of people. Wayne's coming. You might want to roll in. I got you if you want to roll, if you want to check it out. But I know Lee County sends people to our training. So I've seen it before. Yeah. I've seen the checks.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard for me to check. So I appreciate the support. We are coming down there trying to give your men and women what they need to go out and do this job appropriately. And I got to imagine, were you a hard charger your whole career? Were you out doing proactive work?
You know, I always was. I was a guy that, I mean, I worked midnights for a long time. And no matter what I did, I felt that attitude is altitude. And you go out there and you make the best of everything every single day. And whatever it takes, you do that and go beyond. If you have to be there at 5, you're there 30 minutes early. If you have just, that's just my attitude. Attitude is altitude. And I appreciate hard work and dedication. So I love what I do. It's not a way of it's not a job. It's a way of life. It really is. And Lee County in particular is phenomenal because the people here, they want exactly what I want and they support me and they're part of a team.
Dude, so tell me about proactivity. Like, you guys going out, you encouraging your people to go out and try to stop crime and really not just be stagnant. Sometimes you got to be available. We know that, right? You're in a busy district. You're the only car, 2 cars available for a Friday night. You got to cool it off and be available. But when there's downtime, are you guys like, hey, go out, be proactive, go stop crime. You know, here's the training you need. Here's the Constitution. Follow it. If you make a mistake, we understand, right? We know you're out there trying to do the right thing. As long as it's not malicious, we want to encourage you. We have your back.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, we have different districts and different demographics, but some are busier than others. And I will tell you, this county's busy as a whole entirely. Our guys are out there hard charging. They are not afraid to push it beyond the limits because that's exactly what I want and what these residents demand. They know I got their back. They know it 100%. We do what's right. And when we make mistakes, again, not malicious, but when we make mistakes, that's going to happen. That's the business we're in. It's a messy business, but I stand with them, right in front of them, beside them, in every direction, supporting them so they can go out there and they can kick ass and get their job done because that's what's supposed to happen.
What are your relationships? I know that there's a weird dynamic. You know, you're from up here. You know that.
Of course.
And we don't have like sheriff's offices that are patrolling really in the New York, New Jersey area. It's really an uncommon thing. Now, when I say New York, upstate New York's got sheriff's offices out on the road. But again, I don't think it's that as much as you think it is. In some places it is. But what's the relationship like down there with other agencies, Florida High Patrol, small city agencies? Is everybody on the same page?
A couple of things. First and foremost, you're right. Up north, the sheriff does not have that patrol aspect of responsibility. It's different. Although in Suffolk County now, you know, Sheriff Toulon, a great friend of mine, is a great man, and he's done great things with that department. The state of Florida, the Florida sheriff in particular, you are the chief law enforcement officer for your county. The elected official, it is you. Everything begins and ends with you. So it's a great way to look at things and be able to affect positive change and policies and procedures. It really is. And then beyond that, okay, our guys are out there every single day. And when I say we push it to the limits, we do, because that's what I need and want. There's a reason that crime rate is going down every single year. We have more interaction with people. The population has exploded. But yet with more calls for service, more interaction, our use of force is going down. Our crime is going down. because we have the right people in the right places, and we have an executive team that supports them every single step of the way with them.
I often say this in class, and I've been around for a while, worked for three different agencies, you know, only because I was trying to find the next better move, right? Just like you, right? The next better step. Where do I want to go next that's better? I'm looking around. I'm like, nah, there's more available. I'm going to go somewhere else. And I actually advocate for that. People say, well, it's so easy to say that you could just go from one place to another. Bro, I went to three police academies in 4.5 years. That was
I applaud you, because most human beings, let alone law enforcement, they're hesitant. They don't like change. Sometimes change could be the best thing in the world. You know, I had a great, great relationship with the Collier Sheriff. I was his right-hand man, Sheriff Rambos, but I made a change to go to Lee County. And it wasn't because I disliked Collier County. I had a beautiful office. I had a great gig. But I always want to do the best that I can and follow my dreams, have goals and dreams and go after them. The only difference between winning and losing is a loser gives up. The winner never stops, and he obtains his goals and dreams.
Carmine, I'm telling you, I got a funny feeling if we open our iTunes and our books, we're going to have the same shit in there. I could just hear so much stuff. Who do you, before I go on to more law enforcement stuff, who are you following for personal development? Because I know we're on the same page here.
You know, I've had some mentors along the way, mostly in the business world, believe it or not, guys that have taken companies from, you know, bankrupt to now, you know, 60,000 employees. And it's important to have the law enforcement perspective, but also the non-law enforcement civilian business perspective is so important. Guys that have taught me along the way, you know, sometimes you act on that emotion, but cool minds prevail. How to think, how to strategically think and gain what you want to gain and your objectives to be accomplished through calm thinking, you know. And, you know, we all want to jump at the axe, right? You know, something happens, we want to attack it. Sometimes, you know, you get to a house, you say to yourself, hey, we're getting ready to use explosive devices. Did someone check the rear slider? You know, these are the things that you think about. And I'll tell you along the way, and I credit my team, you know, the Lee County Sheriff's Office. Sometimes, you know, I'm the one that delivers a message on TV, but they're the heroes that go out there at every level and make it happen. From every level, support staff, everybody's equally as important to me.
How about some books that you've liked? You got to be into some books. I'm telling, I just can feel. I know you, bro.
You know, one of the best books I've ever read was in the FBI Academy. Okay. And it's called The Survival. It's a survival book. And it was just amazing. It was the guideline to law enforcement. It tells you exactly how you feel, why you feel a certain way. When you come home from work, how you have that chair that you sit in, or you wait, you know, 30 minutes before you can actually talk to somebody because you're unwinding. I mean, it nails a law enforcement officer's attitude and mindset 100%. And it's just, it was amazing. The FBI Academy was an amazing experience.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying the Street Cop Podcast, do us a favor and give us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Tell a friend. We don't charge anything for the episodes. We appreciate your support. Check us out on any social platform by putting into the search bar Street Cop Training. Give us a follow. We have a lot of free content coming out every single day that you might not catch here on the podcast. And it's important for you to be able to do your job more professionally. And we also entertain you as well.
What's interesting is I think that people can see you for who you are. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sitting here, to me, you're just another dude from the Northeast. I'm sure we chop it up, have a good time, bro. I mean, you know, especially when you go to another state, people don't understand this. Like, and you're 45, I'm 41, right? 45, 46? What did you say, 45 before?
You're close. Keep going down.
43?
Keep going.
42?
Keep going.
You're younger than me? No way.
Can't believe it. I'm 50, brother.
No.
I'm 50. Drink a lot of water. I work out. Don't smoke. I try to stay healthy.
So years ago, there was always this interesting beef between New York and New Jersey guys, because New York guys would come to New Jersey. And by the way,
they got to go to Atlantic City, right?
Right. So that subsided. Now everybody's friends, right? Now everybody's boys. There is no more beef. People don't fight anymore. Clubs up here. It's a weird thing, because when we were younger, I mean, it was like you were going out. You were essentially, it was risky in the sense that you might find yourself in the middle of a fight. Not that you would engage. I'm just saying, like, it just was the way it was. But anytime you went somewhere else, like Florida or spring break or Mexico, soon as you met a guy from New York or New Jersey, the Jersey and New York guys were together and just rolling together. Right. So people don't understand. It's a weird thing, because like, oh, where are you from? I'm from the Bronx. I'm from Brooklyn. Oh, we're from Jersey. what are you doing tonight? Now we're going to go out. We know these girls. We're going you're laughing. Hey,
I'll tell you. True. So I keep up with my New York politics and the New York job because I have so many friends there. You know, Sergeant Dave Driscoll from the Amityville Police Department, a brother of mine. We worked together for so many years. He is intertwined in every which way in Suffolk County, in New York City, friends all over the job. So he keeps me in line with what's going on up there. You know, and I want that because, listen, we're the biggest gang in America. We win. It's called law enforcement. Okay. I always say that. We have to all help each other. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter what uniform or patch on your sleeve. It's one family at the end of the day. And that's when we're successful or we do the best we can be, you know?
You know, I hear a lot of this great stuff. It's good. It's refreshing. And I'm going to fire a few more questions out. And I think it's going to help everybody in the long run, not just you, but I think people listening to this, because there are people who are ready to make a move. Commonly in our group, we have a Facebook group, about 96,000 cops in it. And where do I go in Florida? Where do I go in Florida? Before you get there, let me ask you a few questions to set it up for that nice transition. I say this in class at times. I'm like, show me somebody in this room who works at an agency who doesn't have at least one person, chevrons or higher, who everybody can't stand and is a complete nightmare. Now, I'm not saying we know as leaders of a big organization here. I'm not trying to compare myself to you and vice versa. But we are ultimately responsible for these people. When you hear about a supervisor who is really shouldn't be a supervisor, I know that there's bills of rights and things like that. But how do you address that? Because the last thing you want is people coming in here and having to work for somebody that's making their life uncomfortable and miserable and acting emotional, acting like a child. We're actually looking for another person right now. And I talked to my VP yesterday. I'm like, if we're going to get a COO in here, real, because she's really wearing the pants of a COO right now. So I'm like, look, let's remove the COO pants. Let's find somebody to be a COO. But that's a very delicate person, because the one thing that I need them to do is not come in here and misbehave because they can. So how do you, when you hear about this without, you know, and you know enough about leadership now, how do you address things like that? How do you say, all right, I hear a lot about this sergeant, this lieutenant, that he's a real pain in the ass. What do we do about guys like that and girls like that?
So there's a mindset. Okay. And you know it as well as I do. Okay. Who wants to come to work when you have a sergeant nitpicking or trying to hurt the person underneath them by putting things on paper, not helping them, not being a part of a solution or a team? That's not the mentality I want on this department. Now, there are times when supervisors have to be supervisors. Okay. And I understand that completely. But what I don't want is someone who has a completely different mindset, ruining the culture that we took so, I mean, the effort that it took for us to build this family culture, and it's tremendous, okay? More importantly, or most importantly, to maintain it. So I'm not going to allow that behavior. So if I have a sergeant, okay, who doesn't understand the way things operate or has a different mindset, it depends on the scenario. I don't want someone writing 1,000 tickets to every single person they come into contact with. We have discretion, okay? Maybe someone like that has to understand the community response unit where they go out, shake hands, get into the communities and scoop ice cream for kids. There's different ways to make people understand our concepts and what we believe in. But the last thing I want is a supervisor or someone in this agency at any level being that person that takes away and diminishes all the efforts that we put forth.
Nepotism versus meritocracy. This is one of those things that literally in law enforcement is the black plague of motivation and morale, is seeing people getting things because they know somebody, because somebody did a favor for them, because they're somebody's nephew or niece. I call a lot of this stuff out to my detriment because I do want to see things improve. And it's a relief when I'm on the road and every so often I hear about a chief who puts reviews of administration in place, rank and file say, if you work hard here and you're the right person, they're going to reward you. And it breaks my heart when I hear about the chiefs and the captains who give their nephews the canine unit, who hasn't done a goddamn thing for 14 years, but are they getting a dog funded? So they go, oh, it's my nephew. I'm going to hook him up. That just takes everybody and says to them, why would I bother doing anything here when the whole game's not played fairly? So we talk about meritocracy versus nepotism. What's the position on it there? I get it. Listen, bro, we're Italian, right? You know what I mean? Like, but like, you know.
So I understand when you look at my executive staff, right? First of all, there are always going to be people that don't like other people because someone got something or someone moved up or got promoted or got a position or they went into a detail. You always have that. And I tell people all the time, your time will come. Attitude is altitude. What we did now, and I'll tell you in particular, the promotional process, you know, before me, the process was, you know, the chief deputy thought these three people were deserving. They were eligible, deserving, and he picked who he wanted. Now, our competitive sergeant exam will go to the sergeant level. Okay, you go on a list. On that list, every single person that is eligible gets on a printed piece of paper, date of hire, went sick time, if they've used it, what do they use? Do they abuse it? Disciplinary. What is their background? Investigations, major crimes, narcotics, and all of that gets looked at, every single person, until we narrow it down through the executive staff to a point where the list comes to me with three applicants. Okay. And then we look at very, very closely. It's not just, hey, so-and-so is related to so-and-so, just make them a sergeant. No way. It's the fairest and the best it's ever been. And I take big pride on that. And we talk about discipline. Okay. We all know sometimes people get different discipline because they, you know, they have a relationship or this or that. And I'm going to tell you, I've had things come over my desk, which the majority would say, hey, this person is an issue. Okay. And I'll say, okay, well, just because they don't like you or they don't like me or like someone else, that has nothing to do with the discipline. If this was John Smith or Tina, you know, Smith, would you feel the same way? And they look at me and say, you know what? You're right. Because we have to be consistent with discipline. Okay. All across the board. And no matter what, let's say someone gets disciplined, if they come out of it and they have a good attitude and they go to work hard, they don't stay in a penalty box. If you trip somebody in hockey, you get a 2-minute penalty, not a 20-game misconduct. Okay. So we're very fair, very disciplined. And the way we run our agency is at the utmost of professionalism.
That's great, man. Listen, this is stuff that I'm asking it because I believe that you're getting the answers that I want to hear, which are these answers. And it sets an example. And I've said this over and over again. I'm not here to try to convince the old guard. I'm here to plant seeds for the new crops. I had somebody send me a message yesterday and said, in a nutshell, literally, I think I woke up to this morning and it said, it's just so refreshing to watch a guy like you in a company like yours to instill the principles, the morals, and the excitement of being in law enforcement again. It has seemed like nobody's talked about it for a long time. And I think we've been pushed, all of us, to the point where we're like, hey, somebody's got to do something, right? I'm not just going to sit. I'm going to run for sheriff. I'm going to try to make things better. And then it's appreciated. So those efforts, whether they're large or small, they all add up. And you know what's interesting is I don't even think about what I'm doing. I'm just trying to push it. And again, you're going to get people who are like, oh, my chief doesn't like you. I'm like, as soon as I hear that, my first thought is, I got a funny feeling your chief isn't liked. Well, that's true. Yeah, everybody hates him, right? So,
what do you want to be? What do you want to be? Do you want to be the chief or the sheriff that when you retire and you're walking around Home Depot or Lowe's, that the guy looks with his wife or his best friend, he says, oh, Jesus Christ, look, that's that goddamn sheriff. You know, he never did anything for us. He wasn't that type of guy. He'd shit on his men. Or do you want to be the guy that says, hey, sheriff, and you call the sheriff and you run to him and say, hey, thanks for all you've done. How you doing, man? You doing well after retirement? What sheriff do you want to be? I can tell you right now, I want to be the guy they look at and say, that sheriff lived for his family members. He worked with us. He was out on the street. He backed us up. He went in with the SWAT team and he got us the most raises anyone's ever gotten us, which, by the way, you know, we were amongst the lowest paid. We went over 7 to 8 years with no raises. And now we're amongst the upper echelon as far as pay. All these different things you do because that's what a law enforcement officer deserves. And you give it your all, okay? You get an opportunity. Whether you take advantage of that or not, that's your decision. And I'm going to be the guy that takes advantage of it and makes this the best place it's ever been.
I'm going to say this, that I have videos in the past proving I said that before you said that. I want to be clear. I'm not going to take it. Yeah. And I've been saying that. The point is, I'm not saying, oh, that's my, no, I've been saying that for years. And my line usually is, there's two people that are remembered in this game, right? Two people that are remembered. Most people are just forgotten about, but two people are remembered. They're remembered for a reason. And, you know, I'm using foul language. I don't want this to be a reflection on you. This is just us. And we're law enforcement. It's how we speak. It's how I speak in class.
I get it more than you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So everybody remembers the biggest asshole there ever was and the best guy there ever was, or girl. Right. So it's like, if you think about it, when they announce your retirement, there's two reactions. One, they're either going to go into the locker room, pop champagne bottles, and pray that they're going to get their police department back finally after this tyranny and this insanity. Or everybody looks around and fears what's next because they had it so good. And they don't want their chief or their leader or their sheriff to leave because they say, he was so good. She was so good to us.
I'll never
have it this good again. Yeah.
I'll tell you this. So when you go to the FBI Academy, I don't know if you did or not, the FBI National Academy. No,
I was nobody.
Well, listen, we're all regular people, but it's an amazing experience. And you learn from the best of the best. You know, Vince D'Alfonso, who retired from the FBI, the chief hostage negotiator, is teaching you. He's the guy that, you know, negotiated Captain Phillips and negotiated the Boston bomber, right? So you learn from guys like that. I will tell you this, more than that, better than that training are the unique supervisors along the way that taught me what I wouldn't be. When I was in a pursuit and there's no radios and radios are down and he pulls up and instead of being happy that I'm safe or that we got the bad guy, you know, he pops off and says a million different things that are not nice. They're the people, the unique people that teach me and taught me what I never wanted to be. And if I got into a position, I would change just that. And that's what I do every day.
I love it. I love it. It's music to my ears. I want to believe all of it. I love it. I'm excited that you're here. I have a few more questions. What's your tattoo policy?
So, but when I took office, tattoos, it was got to be smaller than a dollar bill. Otherwise, it had to be covered. I don't know. I'm a different type of guy. I moved.
You're a Gen Xer, bro. You know what I mean?
I move with the times. And I'll tell you this. My tattoo policy is you have your tattoos. You don't have to cover up your sleeves. You don't have to, you know what? It gives you a little bit of street credibility. You know, that's just how I see it. I have beards, the beard policy, as long as it's nice and, you know, kept neat, you can have a beard. Let me tell you, you would have thought the day I hit the button on the email about not having to shave and just keeping it tight, you thought I gave everybody a $200,000 raise a year. Okay.
Oh, dude.
So a lot of people don't like it. For me, doctors, attorneys, and all these successful people can have a scruff and a beard. Well, so can law enforcement.
And guess what? It makes a valid point. When people are polled on what makes them happy at an organization, at their job, it's never money. It's always the things that you talk to, small things, how you're treated.
Intrinsic rewards cannot be measured. They're morale builders, and it changes the way you operate, and you get more out of the employee who's happier and wants to be at work and loves their job than the other direction. And again, they're my family, and I have to do everything I can to make my family love coming to work.
There are agencies that are large, but they have such strict tattoo and beard policies, right? But they're down 500-600 cops. Can't get anybody. You know, you got agencies even now still with these 4-year college degree, 2-year college degree, things in place. And it's just, I could hear the back office. That's not how it was when I started in 86. You
know? I was down 121 positions the day I came in. Down. And I'm proud to tell you, we have a waiting list. I have people from all over up north that say, I want to come work for you. And you know what I say to them? Sorry, you wouldn't work for me. You'd work with me. You want to come to an agency that's proactive, that kicks ass, that has all the latest and greatest technology where you can be a cop. You want to be a law enforcement officer and go out there and do what's right. I got your back. This is the place for you.
Oh, I'm going to have to move to Florida. I'm not coming back on the job, but I'm just saying I got to come back to Florida. We were thinking about it a while ago, and I just, there's so much going on here. I got a lot. Maybe over time, I got to be there. I'm going to be your next door neighbor.
You come down, brother. You come down and you come see me. You have no idea. And I want you to come down. And again, you be the person that does not say who you are. Doesn't say you know me, but walk the hallways here. And I want you to talk to everyone. The person that changes the wastebasket, okay, who gets equally treated as if they're a chief of department, Talk to everyone. And I want to hear from you real what you hear.
Listen, if you're opening those doors, I mean, we're going to have Lee County dripping into these classes. I mean, we're in Florida a lot. We get more and more popular in Florida. I think more to come in Florida for sure. I have relationships with sheriffs in Florida and sheriff's offices. Listen, it's a great place. I enjoy, I don't know, the heat in August, how people are standing out in uniform is beyond me. I can't figure it out for the life of me. How the frig are you outside? It's 100.
And I go back to now, how do you stand in the snow, you know, when it's snowing and it's, you know, minus, you know, 4 with the wind chill? I can't do it.
I know. I get it. Listen, I it's brutal. I agree. These extreme, we got to find a happy medium here. The only problem is where the happy medium is where all the liberals are.
And yeah, out, you know, out in
California.
I had a guy, basically I was in a supermarket off duty. He walked up to me and he scolded me, attempted to, and he says, you know, you should be ashamed, Sheriff, of how your Lee County's deputies treated that guy in Bonita Springs. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. We had 2 documented MS-13 gang members waiting to be deported with dozens and dozens of arrests. They were at a family Christmas function with women and children causing a disturbance. There were some words intermixed. My deputies go to engage. The one MS-13 member impedes the arrest, interferes with the arrest. He's thrown to the ground and he's handcuffed, right? And there was some language used that, you know, a little verbal language that they didn't like. Anyway, it got on video. So I said to him, I said, you know what, sir? I said, come over here. First of all, he had a Cali shirt on. I won't forget it. I mean, you know, that told me exactly where his mind was.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, first of all, I said, come over here. You don't get to walk away from me when you open up that door. I said, you understand this. I said, those are 2 MS-13 gang members with over 40 arrests, violent, violent history. Okay. And waiting to be deported. I go, so I said, they don't get to hurt women and children or disrupt family functions in my county. I said, the only thing I will tell you is I want them out of my county. Okay. And by the way, sir, where are you from? California. I said, well, I said, I can see why you left California. Right. I said, but you came to my county now where there's law and order. And if you don't like that, then go back to California.
I love it. You know, sometimes it's difficult to stand your ground, but once you get comfortable standing your ground, it's a nice place to be because you never have to pander. And people start to get the understanding that no matter what we do, this guy ain't going nowhere. This girl ain't going nowhere. You know, and it's the position I take here. I fight battles here behind the scenes, and people don't understand when you run organizations. You get your ass kicked behind the scenes. And you've got to, again, no knee-jerk reaction, no emotional reactions, calm, relax. It's not don't stand there, do something. It's stand there, don't do anything. Let's think about it. That's some real power right there. A lot of stuff you were saying earlier are very powerful things. And I guess the last thing, because this is self-servant for me, is what's your thoughts on training? You know, we understand that when we look at something that was a scenario in the field, it's very, very simple when you understand the whole thought behind this. When something goes wrong, most of the time, it had to do with there being a lack of training. So how does Sheriff Carmine Marcino view training, and where does he put it in his priority list?
Training is critically important, if not the most important tool in your toolbox. We have a mobile training unit that goes around to each district, and all they do is train scenarios. And by the way, awesome. Scenarios that we see along the way, we're training immediately on those scenarios. And we've seen in our Eastern District, we train for the mentally ill that are armed. Well, minutes after we trained at roll call, the call came out where there was a mentally ill guy with an axe. We were able to defuse that situation and take him into custody with no one getting hurt because of that training. We train our SROs 7 times the mandated amount that Florida state statute dictates for SROs, school resource officers. Train, 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 and that's how you perform. We train for everything that comes our way. We're ready for anything that comes our way, and we're not apologizing for doing our job.
I love it, dude. I love it. I'm going to come down there. We're going to go shoot the shit, drink. We're going to have shitty pizza.
Let's go. Let's go. I'm ready.
Oh my God, I'll come to this place. I'm in Florida a lot. All right, so listen, I want to give you an opportunity to say anything you want to say, but obviously you have a waiting list for recruiting, but I think you could never have enough interest while you're selecting and looking for better candidates. And it just goes to show you that in states where they can't procure anybody, right? Procure anybody. You've got a sheriff in Florida in a time in the history of the United States of America where enrollment and interest in law enforcement is at an all-time low historically, who has a waiting list, which is unheard of. It's friggin' nuts. How do people find an opportunity at the Lee County Sheriff's Office?
First and foremost, the Lee County Sheriff's Office has our website. It's amazing. Go to it. It shows you everything. It showcases everything that we do every day at every angle and every item. You'll see everything we do. Come down. First of all, if you want to be a law enforcement officer in a proactive, forward-thinking environment with the latest, greatest technology and equipment, okay, training like you've never seen, and an executive staff and sheriff that works with you, with the keyword, backs you up. Okay, this is the place for you. There's nothing like Lee County, Florida. There really isn't. And I will tell you this. I take personal pride in my family members. Okay, we have 1,700 plus. It's a small army. Okay, but they are family. I use that word family, not just as a word, because I really believe in my heart, they are my family. They're heroes. They go out there every single day. They push it to the limits. Okay. They kiss their loved ones goodbye. And this definitely a different world where common sense isn't common. And I'll tell you this with every fiber of my body, if I'm wrong, I will hunt you down to say, I'm sorry. I will be transparent. We will train differently. We will create different policy. But at the same token, I will tell you this. We're not apologizing for doing our job. When a violent felon carjacks a vehicle in Tampa, gets pursued by the Florida Highway Patrol, that felony, that multiple felonies, okay, he crashes in my county, fatal error. He gets out, he tries to commit two more robberies on foot at knife point in two convenience stores. We have a deputy who's FTO and another field training officer, okay? An officer involved shooting, that suspect comes, he tries to stab one of my deputies, okay? And there's an officer involved shooting. We meet deadly force with deadly force. The media in front of me says, what's his date of birth? Well, he was born in 91 and it ended today in 21, okay? That's very, very simple. I don't say I'm sorry for that, okay? When someone has pages of violent arrests and they think they want to stab a law enforcement officer, the world's a better place without them in it. Okay, and I'm not saying I'm sorry for that. We fixed what other people couldn't fix in decades. Okay, that's it. We come home no matter what. Okay, and that's the end of the way we look at it. It's the only way to look at it.
Here's the last one. What is it like being sheriff? They're calling you to the side. But last one, boys. Give me a sec. Last one. What's it like being sheriff?
It's amazing to get up every single day, put a nice crisp uniform on, a full gun belt, and say, what's going to happen next? I'm serving the greatest, greatest residents in the country that when I go to places, they line up to take a picture or say, listen, awesome. We moved here from Indiana. We moved here from New York. We moved here from everywhere because of the way you take care of this county. So that's a real honor. But most importantly, again, and I stress this, the real honor is working with my 1,700 family members who make me successful. They're the ones that I love. They're the ones I support. And the real honor is mine to serve with them.
I think anybody who tries to run against you is going to have a little bit of a difficult time in the future. So I think you got a pretty solid few runs ahead of you before you decide to call it quits. I think it'll probably be on your time and your decision of when you're going to hang it up.
I got a question for you before I go.
Yeah.
When are you coming down to have some pizza?
Well, how far is Lee County from Brevard County?
Not far. I mean, the state of Florida is 6 hours from top to bottom, so give or take. So probably, I would say maybe 3 hours, give or take.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably not see you for that one. I got a few things going on. But listen, you guys can host training. We have 45 instructors. We have some wild stuff. You want to put some training on? Mark Lamb's now hosting us. You know, like I said, all these guys. David Clark is not a active sheriff anymore, but Wayne's hosting training now. And I'm telling you, Carmine, by the time when you get the feedback from the stuff that we do, if you want to come sit, I told Wayne, come to the class in February. When you guys sit through it or you get the feedback from it, we put our souls into it and we know how significant
it has to be. I already know that talking to you in 1 minute, Dennis. Dennis, you gained another brother here from another mother, okay?
We were brothers already, my friend.
That's right.
Hey, listen, it was great seeing you. If you ever want to do this again, you want to push anything, you come and let us know, and you got us for life.
God bless you. God bless all our law enforcement partners and family members all over the country and the world, our military, and most important, Godspeed, full speed ahead.
If you want to host, let me know.
Thanks, brother.
I'll see you. Have a great
Thank
night.
You. You too.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at StreetCop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher, so you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out StreetCop.com for that offer.